The scripture lessons for the morning begin in Genesis chapter 12, the call of Abram. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. The gospel lesson is from Matthew chapter 17, where we read of the transfiguration. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about this vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The epistle lesson is from the first chapter of 2 Timothy. "Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about the Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And for this reason I suffer as I do, but I'm not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the statement of sound teaching that you have heard from me, and the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Ashamed of Easter? What kind of sermon title is that? We Christians celebrate Easter. We spend the 40 days plus the 6 Sundays in Lent getting ready for it. We think about it. We think about spring. We buy new clothes. We color eggs. Yes, that has its roots in religion. We eat lamb and ham. We buy special flowers. We have extra services. And all that certainly adds up to not being ashamed of Easter. And we do not refrain from talking or thinking about Easter into just one period of time. We really do it every Sunday. Sunday is not the Sabbath. Sunday is the Lord's Day, is Resurrection Day. And as our weekly holy day, rather than the Sabbath, the seventh day, we are so bold that we change one of the commandments. You heard it this morning. It's no small thing to do that, but we do because we confess and believe and proclaim that Jesus rose on Sunday, and that because he lives, we live as well. And therein is the problem. Our weekly Sunday celebrations, which we credit to the resurrection, are sometimes often rather weak or lacking in strength relating to the very keystone of our faith, the rising of Jesus Christ from the dead and what that means for you and for me. Now, our feeling, reasoning, feeling goes something like this. Well, after all, we must just have faith and leave everything to God. We just have to wait and see how it all works out when we get to heaven. Once a year is enough to get specific about that. Be careful with that little word, just, because it means only. And with that, we can see when pressed that we start to sound just a little bit ashamed of Easter, a little bit ashamed to confess and believe and take God at his word. Our Old Testament lesson is an account of Abram taking God at his word. He was 75 years old when he left country and kindred, and as the scripture says, his father's house. His father was dead, but he left all his history behind for something that could only be described as God's word. Abram had not seen what he would be given. I will show you, God said, can mean I will show you, but not yet. Later. Asking anyone to be a pioneer is asking a lot. Webster says a pioneer is one who goes before anyone else into the wilderness, preparing the way for others to follow. Now, that might be an accomplishment to do something that new, to make history, but it is seldom described as fun. Exciting, maybe, but never delightful. Being a pilgrim was not just one big turkey dinner after another. When the Dutch stood up to Spain for religious reasons, it was not a debate, it was a war. When many of our ancestors got off the boat in New York, there was no guided tour of the Statue of Liberty for them. A place to eat and sleep was their main concern, because while they had a new homeland, they were homeless. And the pioneer's rewards are sometimes rather dubious. William Tyndale was a pioneer. He was the first man to translate the Bible into common English, for which he was killed. John Bunyan wrote that classic description of the Christian life, Pilgrim's Progress. He was rewarded with 12 years in jail. Woodrow Wilson's League of Nations, the forerunner to the United Nations, was an idea he pushed. He worked hard. It almost happened, but his own Congress scuttled it. And it's cold comfort to say, well, somebody's got to be first. Columbus sailors were not all that wild about proving his theory that the world was round, not flat. But somebody had to be first. After all, there was a whole half a world to be discovered. But any one of his sailors would have said, let somebody else do that. I just want to go home. Such is the case with faith. We have to be a pioneer. Abram was first to leave the crowd opinion, to strike out on his own. Most of us have a family faith. We got it from our parents, our mother, our father, our grandparents. Not all of us. Some of us know what it is to be different, to be first. Some of us know what it is to go home and say, in Jesus Christ, I found a new life, and I think that life will never end. And to those who've never considered Jesus Christ as more than a nice fellow or a good teacher, that's a new idea. And Abram's decision to relocate cannot stand in the shadow of eternal life is mine in Christ for shock value, and are you sure you know what you're getting yourself into? There is an idea, a new idea of the first order. And we need help with that. Because we're often ashamed of new ideas, being different. The kind of help that we need is in the gospel lesson with that account of the transfiguration of Jesus. At this point in his ministry, Jesus knew he was going to be crucified. It was leading to the cross. He knew it. His disciples knew it. At first, they didn't want to think about it. They warned him about what was coming. We read he set his face toward Jerusalem. But on the way, both he and they stopped to check the compass, to just make sure. They wondered if they were headed in the right direction with this new idea, this novel rabbi's interpretation. Was it just that, or was God itself, himself, at work in all of this? And the transfiguration was just such a compass check experience. Here, those three disciples saw Jesus in a glorified state, talking with the embodiment of all that Israel stood for, the law, Moses, and the prophets, Elijah. And if that wasn't enough to see that they were not dead and gone, Moses and Elijah were living in the presence of God, obviously, there they were. The very voice of God came and knocked them off their feet. And here was a glimpse of life the way God intended it, full, forever, beyond human imagination, outside the regular frame of reference. Here God said, see, there's more. Since what this eternal life Easter celebrates is outside, beyond our regular way of understanding and reasoning, we have to handle it with faith. Don't confuse that with emotion. In the brilliance of that event, Peter got confused. He thought, this is it. This is all it ever was or ever would be, and he wanted to take up permanent residence on the mountain. But Jesus himself led them back down the mountain and right back into the mainstream of life. And sometimes with our emotions, we want to fly over the storms and the smoke and the pollution of regular life. But we also know that if it's real faith, it has to deal with real life. And we know that we, like Peter, have to come down off the mountain. And to dare do that, we need more than flying high just once in a while, once a year, on Easter. Christianity is not just Jesus and me. It's God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is the law. It is the prophets. It is history. It is a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And as it is all of that and more, we need not be ashamed of it. In fact, now's the time to declare our faith as the answer to and the interpretation of real life. Not life on the mountain, life here. Jesus said, tell no one of the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. Well, he is raised from the dead. He lives and so do we and shall, which is why we spend Lent getting ready for and Easter celebrating that now and forever life. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying in the epistle lesson for today. Do not be ashamed then of our testifying to and about our Lord, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, who abolished death and brought life through the gospel. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Powerful words. And then Paul says, guard the truth that has been entrusted to you by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. He didn't mean the truth and God needed protection to survive, but rather he warned us to be careful, to guard, to watch carefully, lest we lose sight and find ourselves in danger. If we find we're kind of ashamed of Easter, then we've lost the faith and the love which are in Christ Jesus. Listen to a poet. Not what, but whom. I do believe that, in my darkest hour of need, hath comfort that no mortal creed to mortal man may give. Not what, but whom. It's during Lent that we prepare to celebrate Easter and not just Resurrection Day. Lent and Easter prepare us for life. And not only for eternal life, meaning heaven, but eternal life, meaning eternal, now and forever. Because it's now that we all face the wrong of life, and that, in a word, is death. Not only for ourselves, but for loved ones as well. We face the deep hurt of grief. We face the terror of being alone, not just physically, but emotionally too. We face the injustice of young lives being lost or wasted. We see life slowly taken from those who loved life and lived it to the glory of God. We read the paper, we watch the evening news, in a word, Japan. And we are tempted to doubt our faith in a God of goodness and justice, peace and love, faith and trust. And we wonder where to go with our anger and our fear. Do we shake our fists at God or the devil or both? We hardly know what to say when we talk about it, except to say, isn't it a shame? And then we wonder, whose shame is it? Is it ours or God's or both? God's ultimate answer to life is more life. More life than we can imagine. Fuller life with no dangers, no sin, no death. He and we have names for that kind of life. Easter, eternal life, resurrection, heaven. Well, God's not ashamed of that. He's not ashamed of Easter. It's his answer. It's his power. It is his love. And we need never to be ashamed of that. We need to declare with confidence who we are because of who Jesus is. And he is our risen Lord and Savior. So during this season of Lent, we're on our way to the Easter celebration. But we need to celebrate as we go, so that when we arrive, we can celebrate Easter and continue to celebrate all our days. Ashamed of Easter? Never. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we ask your blessing as we read your word. We ask for your Holy Spirit's presence with us in the same way as when these words were recorded by your faithful servants. Grant us your blessing for Jesus' sake and ours. Amen.